Okay, get your Bibles out this morning. And if you would, go to the little book, the book of Jude. It's right before the book of Revelation. If you've been here these last few weeks and long weeks, because I've been preaching about the Holy Spirit for weeks now, and I'm continuing on, I still have three more points on my 10-point message that I've been trying to preach for 7 weeks. And so, you know, I don't know what. It's just to say I'm long-winded on this topic, okay? But last night it was so funny because I've got something burning in my heart to preach this morning and the topic and I was a little I got a feeling a little nervous. Little uneasy because I thought, I don't want to be too hard, Lord. I don't want to come across hard. You got to give me the ability to speak this morning where it's just comes out and flows out of my lips. And so I said, Lord, I need some confirmation. I'm on the right road this morning. And so it wasn't even me. Laura had the TV channel deal. She was flipping through and hit the Billy Graham classic deal. And Billy Graham standing right to the pulpit and he's saying, "You must be filled with the Holy Spirit. You must be filled with the Holy Spirit." And I was like, thank you, Jesus. It's the confirmation I was looking for. I just passing by and just walked on back and went back to studying. But I don't want to come across this morning as harsh. You know, sometimes I believe y'all know my heart. I mean, I've been your pastor for some of you for 20, 25 years now. I've been ministering here and I know you know my heart. I'm not mad at anybody. Hello? I'm not mad at anybody. When I'm preaching about this message this morning on about the Holy Spirit, I'm not mad at any of you guys. I don't have to be mad. My job is not to be mad at you. My job is to preach the gospel to you and try to lead you down the road. And I don't believe in beating the sheep. I believe in feeding the sheep. I've never beat a sheep and got anywhere. I'm talking physically in the natural. Sheep have to be led. You cannot beat a sheep. Hello? I've hauled enough sheep in my day to know that unless you got a good lead goat, you ain't going to get them off the trailer. You might as well just have a good lead goat and take them in there because they'll follow, but they are not going to be beat into submission to go anywhere. Sheep's stupid. And it's always been offensive to me the very first time I read the Bible and Jesus referred to us as sheep. I was like, thanks, Jesus. Really appreciate that. Because coming from a ranching background, I knew exactly what that meant. So don't get offended this morning. I want y'all to enjoy this message, but I'm telling you, I feel a seriousness in the body of Christ this morning. Just even as I was coming to church this morning, Brother Ivan called me, and he said, "You're not going to believe this one." Another pastor was talking with him this morning, and he said, "Listen," he said, "we've got to just really start praying and preaching," because he said, "Now Christian pastors are getting so off." Okay, that they're actually churches, Christian churches in the United States that are having services that they're calling Chrysalem. So who said, yeah, somebody heard this? Yeah, they're called Chrysalem. And what they're doing is they're bringing and asking a Muslim cleric to come into the services and read scripture verses from the Quran that match to, you know, they're trying to find scripture verses in the New Testament that would match, and they're having these services trying to say, look how everything's okay, you know. Our Muslim brothers are, you know, they're all about the same thing, and the Quran's almost the same as the Bible, and they're going through this whole kind of deal like this, and they're preaching this garbage. But we really shouldn't be shocked about that, because we have been trying to deal with political correctness for so long that you could not call something what something really was, because there was you're going to offend somebody. You're going to hurt this activist group or that activist group or this one. But in the meantime, not caring about the Judeo-Christian values that this nation was founded upon and the Judeo-Christian values that we hold dear to us, that everybody could trample all over that. Oh, don't mention God. Don't say, you know, NBC the other day got caught on their deal when they edited the national anthem and took out in God We Trust, the Pledge of Allegiance, and then they got caught on it, and they went back and said, look, it was a mistake, it was an editing deal. What do you mean a mistake? You just edited out in God We Trust? I mean, what? Come on, folks, the world's turned into a place that doesn't make any sense anymore. And as Christians, if we do not stand up for our rights and our Judeo-Christian values, we're going to find ourselves in worse shape and worse shape and worse shape. But that's not really what I'm preaching about this morning. Okay? I'm backing up even farther. If we Christians don't get on the same page, listen to me. If we Christians don't get on the same page being the Word of God and what the Word of God says and get off of the doctrines of man and what man's religion has fed us over centuries, to get back to what the Word of God says and the principles of the Word of God, and we don't come into a basis like that, then we are divided ourselves. And Jesus himself said, a house that's divided, it's not going to stand. So I can't deal with everybody, but I can deal with y'all, and I can deal with whoever watches us on television, whoever listens to the radio broadcast. All right? And whether they like me or not, I can't help it, because I guarantee you, I'll say a few things this morning that may stir you, a few things this morning that you may say, what? Because of the way you've been taught. But all I'm basing it off of is the Word of God. Amen? Now, this message isn't for the faint of heart. Okay? Because, see, I believe in holiness. I believe that I don't believe in cheap grace. I believe the Bible teaches us that we're to be holy. We're to strive to be holy. We're not to do it by works, like saying, oh, because I went to church today, I get a brownie point. I get a gold star by my name, but we're supposed to, inside of our heart, burn with a passion to be like Jesus and want to be like Jesus. And we should never live in cheap grace, seeing how close to the flames of hell we can sail and still make it into the pearly gates. Hear me now. Things that Christians are getting caught up in today, they're no-brainers. It's not like the great deception of walking in sin and the things of sin. Listen, you do not have to be a rocket scientist to know that some things are right and some things are wrong. You don't steal. You don't cheat. You don't lie. Well, but you know, Pastor, sometimes... What? What if we just take the Ten Commandments? It's only 10. Well, Pastor, that's Old Testament. You know, and we're past that now. We're all under the blood of Jesus. And once we're under the blood of Jesus, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't? It doesn't? So it's okay to, you know, look at pornography. It's okay to fornicate. It's okay to commit adultery. It's okay to walk in all those things like that and say, well, it's all under the blood. No, it's not. The world is being deceived by trying to make everything so politically correct and trying to make everything so let's don't cause our brother to be uncomfortable for the life that he's living. So let's go ahead and let there be same-sex marriages, because we don't want to offend the poor guys. And I mean, you know, who are we to judge and all this? Folks, let's read the Bible. If you don't believe it, you know, I like being with Peter, Paul, and not Mary. You know, Peter, Paul, Mary, not the singers. But I like being with the apostles from the very beginning. Amen? I like being in agreement with them and saying, well, I don't know, Paul, this is what Paul said. I kind of, it's what Peter said. Yeah, it's what, well, that's what Jesus said. Yeah, I'm with them. I don't care that I'm politically correct with the world of today. I don't even understand. He said, well, yeah, but what about? I don't know. I just know that the more you stand in a mud puddle, the muddier you're going to get. And if you never got into the mud puddle, you'd never have the mud on you, so you wouldn't worry about it. So if you wouldn't have got into it to start out with, so how I'm going to get it all, you all cleaned up? I ain't got the slightest idea, but the first thing I know to do is get out of the mud puddle. But everybody wants to stand in the mud puddle and try to get cleaned up, and it don't work that way. You got to get out. And we can't be politically correct with all other religions, because if they don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he lived and he died and that he arose from the grave and that he is the Son of God, we can't get in agreement with that, folks. And we say, well, I just don't want to hurt their feelings. If the Bible is right, that means that person, if they don't know Jesus, is not going to make it into the courts of heaven. And that's what we want them to. So we need to preach for them to get saved and come in to know Jesus. Amen. He said, oh, but y'all are just being hard. I am. Thank you, Jesus. I just believe what the word says. I believe that I'm right. I have that right. It's called freedom. Listen to me, church. It's called freedom to believe in the word and what the word says and to stand on it and my principles. And it's called freedom that we can be on television. We can be on the radio. We can do that thing because it's called we live in a free country. It's freedom. I'm not hating any person. I'm not guilty of hate crimes. I love people. I want people to know about Jesus. And we got to get off this delusion that takes us away and say, well, you got to be real careful, you know. Don't want to offend anybody. Hello? Y'all out there? Y'all with me? You hearing what I'm saying? So here we go now. I've been preaching for a long time this morning. I hadn't even got to the message yet. In the book of Jude, I'm just going to jump into it. The book of Jude here, and there's only one chapter, so the first chapter, the only chapter. Look over in verse 20. I've been preaching on the Holy Spirit. The church world is divided on the Holy Spirit. The church world is especially divided on what this message is about this morning, speaking in tongues. Whew, I said it. Wow, this one out there jumped out there and just busted out and said, speaking in tongues. Holy cow. Beloved. Says, but you, beloved. Can I ask y'all, I'm going to play ignorant here. I know we've got teachers in here this morning. What's the difference between beloved and beloved? Is there any difference? Is there any spelling difference? So what's the difference between saying to reading that scripture and saying beloved or saying beloved? I looked it all up in the dictionary this morning. It's a term of it's a term of affection. And it means, if you look it up in the Greek, it means intimately cared for and concerned for, to love, to kiss, to desire to be with one. That's what it means. But it sounds different if you say beloved. It doesn't sound as good if you say beloved. Because be loved. Y'all with me? He's saying, but you, the ones that are loved, build yourself up upon your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. He says that in this Christian walk that we live, that you are going to have to build yourself up. Now, if you look at the word build there, it means to continue construction. Like there's something already started, but you're having to build it, continue to do construction on it. The foundation's been laid. You got saved. You made Jesus the Lord of your life, but now you need to keep constructing. You need to keep building on your foundation. Why do you think we had to also be building in life? Because just like Joplin, Missouri saw that horrible tornado go through that and just rape the land and strip everything that was around there and horrible loss of lives. Sometimes we run into some spiritual tornadoes in life too. Start working on your foundation. Start working on your house you're building. Listen to me, and it rips you out. Something that's unexpected, something you never saw coming, something that comes into your life and rips your whole spiritual walk out. And he says, you know, you got to go back. And it says you need to pray in the Holy Spirit to build yourself back up. In other words, this whole message and the point I've been talking about the Holy Spirit is that, folks, we have got, I'm trying to just show you the immense need for the Holy Spirit in our lives to be instructing us and to be talking to us and to be giving us understanding and direction in our lives. And Christians for too long, whether they be charismatics or Pentecostals or whatever, have taken the Holy Spirit and reduced it to one thing, praying in tongues. And the Holy Spirit is so much more than that. You can say, oh, I've got the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I feel the Holy Spirit. I can pray in tongues. Folks, listen to me. That's the beginning. What about love, joy, peace, patience? Oh, those things called fruit of the Holy Spirit. What about the gifts of the Spirit that can come in and operate in lives? What about all of that? And I'm telling you, Pentecostals have been wrong saying, oh yeah, we tarried at the altar and we got baptized in the Holy Ghost and I can speak in tongues. and then leave it at that experience. That's not what it's all about. It's about knowing the Holy Spirit in such an intimate way that he comes into your life that he builds you and says, don't put a screw there. Oh, you're not going to want that light socket there. You're going to want to move that light socket over here because you're going to need that because something's coming up you don't really know anything about, but I do know what's coming on. Trust me, put the light socket here. When my wife and I, we built our house, and you know, it was one of these things we drew it out on a napkin, and then that's how we constructed it. And so, I just walked. We just walked to the house and said, put a plug there, put a plug there, put a plug there, put a plug there. You know, put one over there, one over there. And then now today, after living in our house for 7 or 8 years, she'll say to me, "We should have put a plug there." You know, something wants to change. We're going to do something different, and we didn't have a plug there. And I'm like, why didn't I put a plug there? I want the Holy Spirit in my life to be already showing me where I should have put my plugs, what I should have done, what I needed. Oh, you better put something over here. You better do that. Don't do that. Put a door over here. You're going to need that because you're going to add on it one day. And there's going to be something over there. And it's about the Bible talks about, and I'm going to show you these this week and next week. I'm going to show you about, the Bible talks about praying in the Holy Spirit to give you the inspiration that you need for the things going on in your life that are either coming up or that you need to be aware of. And if you're not, you're not using all the tools in your toolbox. Let me ask you this, guys. Can you drive a nail with a crescent wrench? You can't you? It ain't going to be too easy. You better keep your thumb out of the way. But you can get it done, right? How many of you know that you can use a flathead screwdriver and a Phillips screw if it's the same, get it in there. It ain't going to be very good, but you can do it. You could use a pocket knife. Hello? Not advisable. But wouldn't it be better to use the tools, the right tools, for the right application? Have you ever done something that you were, you've always used a certain tool for something, and then all of a sudden one day you found out that somebody had already made a tool for that, and you didn't know it was out there, and then you went to the store, and you're like, wait a minute, I didn't know they made that wrench, and you got the hold of that wrench, and you're like, look how easy this is, right? Folks, I'm telling you this morning, we need the Holy Spirit in our lives to be praying in other tongues so that we have the inspiration to know what to do. And he said, well, I don't know, Pastor, that's all kind of freaky. Well, let me just, give me a moment. Give me this week and next week to explain this, okay? It says that when you pray, the first thing I want you to understand is when you pray in the Holy Spirit, it says it builds you, not tears you down. Y'all with me? He says it builds you and it builds your faith. Y'all with me? Okay. I want you to see something here. If you look at that word again, build, one of the sub words in the Greek to the word build means you actually become a house builder or a home builder, a contractor. Now, you may not think of yourself as a spiritual contractor, but that's what God's wanting you to learn to do. To be a spiritual contractor in your life and in somebody else's life to help them. Miss Dixie just said just a while ago about the kids and having vacation Bible school this weekend. Kids coming in and we were trying to teach. Can you imagine little Johnny going home and telling his mother and father about Jesus and nobody else could ever get through to him, but he did? Going home singing a song that, a Christian song that then, that gets stuck in their head. Right? How do you know what's going to happen? I'm so excited about this week and all that's going to go on because I just believe in God for kids to come in and that they're going to be touched and blessed and they're going to go home to their parents and it's going to change their lives. Folks, listen to me. The Holy Spirit has a plan for each and every one of them coming this week. Do you know what it is? No, I mean, just think of it. Do you know specifically what it is? I don't. But he says, if you pray and the Holy Spirit's building your foundation and the Spirit of God's showing you things that you didn't know. He's like giving you the instructions of how to do it before you do it so you don't do it wrong the first time. Has anybody ever done something wrong the first time and then you read the instructions and found out what you did wrong? Has that ever happened to any of you? And then you say something like, oh, I wish I'd read the instructions. Or the wife comes in and says, did you read the instructions? It never goes over good. Then you have to, that's a whole other area of building your faith before you get into that. Okay. Okay. So now go over in the book of Romans chapter 8. Go to Romans chapter 8. Let me show you something. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. Anybody got any weaknesses? You know, in the King James, it says infirmities. And but if you take the word and you look at it, it means weakness. But what's funny about it, calling it an infirmity? You know, in other words, you got a sickness. Any of you got any sicknesses? Any weaknesses? Anything that you feel like you're really strong in the Lord, and then that one thing comes up and then it trips you up and you mess up? Huh? Hello, am I in the right crowd? Am I preaching to the right group, or have y'all already got it all perfect and we need to just pray and go home? He says the Spirit helps. This whole message, this whole time I've been talking about is the Holy Spirit is there to help us. Not put something on us. Not exact something from us. Not make us do something we don't want to do. He's there to help us. Jesus called him the helper. He's going to help you in your weakness. Religion teaches you if you have a weakness, God don't want to have anything to do with you. That if you got a weakness in your life that God doesn't want to speak to you, doesn't want to talk to you, and you're not going to have anything good happen in your life because you got a weakness. You're telling me that God doesn't know that we're crazy? You think he hadn't got it figured out yet now that you got some serious issues in life? I don't know how it goes down in heaven. I know how it would if God was human, but praise God he's not. But I could kind of see God like rolling his eyes and saying, oh, God, here we go again. When he looks down the path and sees something's going to happen that's going to tick you off or going to get you to, you know, launch off or whatever it be. When you fall into your temptational weakness. Hello? Weaknesses of all sorts. It says the Spirit of God wants to help you. In other words, the Holy Spirit wants to have a relationship with you that he can say, don't go there. Don't go there. Go over here. I cannot tell you how many times in my life that I have felt like the Holy Spirit told me to do something that morning. And I left and I went off on my own journey doing my own thing that day. And something went wrong. And I remember that if I would have just listen to what the Spirit of God told me that morning, I wouldn't have been in the situation I was by that afternoon. Are y'all with me? Has that ever happened to you? You knew it. You said, well, I don't know. That's just a thought I had. It's called the Holy Ghost. It's not a genie. It doesn't appear to you in a green genie robe there in front of you. No. He spoke to you that morning. You heard him. Came into your heart and said, don't go there. Don't do that. You knew it. Or take that. Or you need to. And you're like, oh, why didn't I? Man, now I'm all the way down the road here. What was I thinking? It's a wonderful life to live a life with the Holy Spirit. Leading you and guiding you and telling you what to do. It's kind of a miserable life when we don't ever listen to our helper. Because then we're always walking along kicking ourselves because we didn't do it. Right? But it's a great feeling when he told you to do something and you did it, and then the event happened, and then you're like, oh, I've got that. And you're like, I got it right. Yes. It's a glorious feeling. It's like Christmas, you know? You just jump up and down and say, yeah, wow, thank you, Lord. Y'all with me? That's how I want to be all the time. That's how I want to feel all the time. That's what I want to do all the time. Do I do it? No, make a mistake all the time. I have weaknesses. I know I have weaknesses. If you don't think you do, you do. And your weakness is that you're deceived. I'll tell you what it is. If right now you're saying, well, I don't really have any weaknesses. I'm very disciplined, very self-controlled person, Pastor. I don't have any weaknesses. That's your weakness. You're deceived. Because we all do. Hello? Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for. Have you ever been in the place that you don't really know what to pray for? I've used this example before, but I never forget in the very beginnings of Living Waters Church, when we were starting here, we watched some Larry Lee videos about, could you not tarry with me for 1 hour? And talked about praying for 1 hour. And we had them on a television set, and we were watching them. We always laughed about that because it always looked like we were some kind of crazy cult watching a TV. You know, we were all worried about that. And so, we're watching. I remember trying to pray for an hour. I mean, I thought, I can do this. I want to pray for an hour. I want to be like, man, I'm going to pray for an hour. And literally, I prayed for everything that I knew that even breathed or moved, all the family, everything I could come up with. I was down to praying for the dogs and the cats and the day and the rain and everything else. And, man, I looked at my watch, and I'd prayed for about 12 minutes. And I thought, my gosh, how could I have prayed? How could I pray for, 48 more minutes? How can I do this? I have no earthly idea. I've prayed for everything I could. Then I'd get down to praying for countries and praying for this and praying. But you know, if you're going to pray in those days, when I was just starting to learn how to pray, I mean, if you say, well, Lord, bless Texas. I mean, how long did that take? Right? Lord, bless the government. Bless the president. Bless the Congress. Bless them all. Bless the police. All government officials, bless state troopers, bless firefighters, bless. You see how long does it take, right? And if you write it down, it even goes faster. So I was just blown away that how could I have ever prayed for an hour? I could write out everything. I wasn't just zip right through it. I was through in 15 minutes. Like, let's wrap this up, going and save you some time, Lord, this morning. I got it done in 15 minutes, and there in an hour. But then as I began to walk on with Jesus and began to mature more, I began to realize that I was always just going to the Lord with my grocery list. And I would just go to Him with my grocery list of the things that I thought were important and prioritized in my grocery list. And just go to the Lord, and that's the way I prayed. Just gave Him my grocery list. Never thought about just seeing if He had anything He wanted to say. Never thought about it. Was there anything in the Bible He wanted to speak to me? Was there any other thing that might have gone on that day that I might have needed, or something I might need to pray for that I didn't know anything about? And not till I began to learn what this is saying here, that He wants to, that we don't know what we should pray for as He ought. And then it says that the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, that the Holy Spirit wanted me to give Him place and time to pray and inspire me, whether I was praying in a known language or an unknown language, but to speak to my heart and pray so that there was things that needed to be uttered on earth. Now, I'm going to put this as simple as I possibly can. When in Genesis chapter 1, when God gave, or chapter 2, when God gave man dominion over the face of this earth, all right, He never took it back. The devil took it from man, but God never took it back. So whether you realize it or not, you are in dominion over the kingdom of God in your life. Your kingdom. The Richards kingdom I'm in dominion on. Y'all follow me? Okay, so He still wants you to speak over your dominion. That's what prayer is about. Speaking over your dominion, your kingdom, of what God is wanting you to do in life and what is about yours. He don't want you meddling over in somebody else's kingdom. He wants you to be dealing with your kingdom, praying and interceding for others in their kingdom. But you see what I'm saying? And he says, you don't even know what you should be praying for. Folks, I'm telling you right now, I have great concern on the inside of me about where we are in the world today. Yeah, as a nation, as a whole, as a body of believers on the face of the earth today. I look farther than just, you know, in my field, my dominion, because I'm thinking about Guatemala, I'm thinking about Mexico. We've got all the people that we love and we care about over there and in Africa. And I'm looking at the whole big picture. I have great concern about what's in the world today and what's going to happen in the next 10 years. I'm turning 50 in exactly 29 days. And I don't look way down the road. I never have in life. I don't say, well, in 20 years I want to be, I'm just trying to get through the week. But I want to tell you something. When I'm 60, if I'm standing here in this pulpit and turn 60, I don't know what the face of the world is going to look like then. And it disturbs me. Never in the world has there ever been a place like we have in the United States today. Never has there ever been freedom amongst people. I heard a deal. It's a history deal. And it's talking about Genghis Khan in 1200 when he was conquering all of the world and conquered more of the world than ever. That life meant nothing to them. That they would just go into towns and villages and kill everybody in there and kill everybody in the regions. And that literally they figured that there's over 200. What's the right word? 200 ethnic groups that have been totally wiped out then in 1200 because he killed every living person in that region. And over 200 ethnic groups were totally, completely wiped off the face of the earth because of the killing of them. This man would kill so many people that they would use the bodies to breach walls in walled cities and make the ramps out of dead bodies and dirt going up that then they'd ride their horses over the tops of the walls into the cities. This guy was so ruthless that they would take all the children from everywhere that they went and they would gather all the children and put the children in front of the armies to go out in front of them because it would cause the people that they were coming to, their moral conviction, to not want to shoot the archers into where the children were and give them an advantage, and then they would just run over the children and their horses and charge into the armies and just kill them all. We think we live in a bad time. We think we live in a hard place. We think that everything's really, really bad here. We don't even know what's gone on in this world, the horrors that have gone on in this world, and how really good we live, and especially how good we live where we are here in this area we live, that the land that time forgot. Because it's true. What we live in and what we deal with around here is not even anything compared to the big metropolitan areas. Thank God we live in the rural places we do. But listen to me. I love this freedom we have. Not because I want the convenience, not because I want, I like air conditioning. Right? But it's not that. It's that we have freedom to preach and freedom to care and freedom to love and freedom not to be persecuted and then freedom to stand up to protect our freedom. And people are casting this aside like it's nothing. They're casting it aside like it's nothing and saying, oh, no, we have to be like all the rest of the world. We have to be, no, folks, listen to me. We have to fight for our freedom. And I'm telling you, I believe in my heart that there's things coming down the road that you can't even imagine, that the Holy Spirit already knows is coming down the road that you better be praying for in your life, that's going to come upon you. The Bible says, Jesus says, let's put it this way. Jesus said that in the last days, even the very elect would be deceived. Folks, there's a deception already own this land, but how much greater the deception that could come upon this land that you wouldn't even know what was going on? You can say, well, Pastor, I don't think it could be like that at all. Yeah? They just legalized gay marriage in New York. 6 states now. What's going to happen when all of a sudden I can't come in here and I'm demanded to hold services, marriage services for same-sex marriages? He said, well, Pastor, you wouldn't do that. Okay, I wouldn't. I just quit being pastor. If they say, well, you can't do that, you know, if you do, we're going to take away all your tax status and all the money that's given and all that's going to be taxed. We say, okay, but I'm just telling you, do you realize your lifestyle's changing? You see what I'm talking about? All of a sudden, then all of a sudden, what if we're not the nice guys? Then we're turned on us, we're the bad guys. Folks, I'm telling you what, in 10 years, you can't imagine what this face of this earth can look like if things aren't stopped. You can't imagine what life can be in 10 years. Your years. I mean, heaven help you. Some of us may not be here in 10 years, but, the majority of us are going to be here in 10 years. You can't imagine what the world could look like. Just think back. Do you know what it was like? I remember Sister Dodge, the days that she would be up here and tell us about that. She remembered that the first time that they saw an airplane. And we don't think anything about an airplane. Airplanes fly over all the time. We're like, oh, yeah, yeah, they're cool. Yeah. We don't think anything about an airplane. That's a big change. Let me ask you this. How many of y'all have seen your money lately? How many of you went down to the bank, just asked the bank teller, hey, I want to open up my account back there. My account's XXXXX. And open it up. I'd like to see my money. I got money in there. I got $10,000 in my account, and I would like to see it just stacked up. Just make me feel better. Have you tried that lately? All you get's a little deposit slip that tells you what's in there, and it's just ink on a piece of paper, and that's all you get. You ain't going to see no money. Hello? Take your iPhone, go into your bank account, transfer money from one account to the next. What happens is when you hit that app and you transfer it, there's a little lady there, got the message, and they went and got that money out of that account, ran over there, put it over there in that account, ran back over there, closed the door on that account, so now that money's over there in that account. That's the way it works, doesn't it? All I'm telling you, church, is more than ever in life, we need the power of the Holy Spirit within our life. More than ever do we need to get off the fact that, oh, that was just an old Pentecostal thing. Folks, I'm telling you what, you need to pray in tongues. You need to speak in tongues. You need to speak in tongues. Paul said, I speak in tongues more than you all, and we're going to get into all this later. But I'm telling you what, you need to get out of the religious mindset and say, well, listen, I don't know about that. That's a Pentecostal thing, and I'm not Pentecostal. Then you don't believe the Bible. Is that right? Is that what you're saying? You don't believe the scriptures? Well, you got to understand, Pastor. I just raised, and there's nowhere you can get around it. Either you believe the Bible's all true, or you don't. Because I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. If you don't believe the Bible is all true, what's going to happen is, then what if somebody comes up and says, "Well, listen, Jesus really wasn't resurrected." You see, the Bible, we don't have to, that portion of it, you know, yes, he was, but he was just like Muhammad was resurrected. And you say, no, that's what the Bible says. See, you'll fight that point. But if you compromise in one area, you compromise in all areas. It's a weakness in your foundation. I'm telling you, we have to know what the whole gospel is. We have to be full gospel Christians. Whole, complete Bible-believing Christians. And if we don't have all of these issues settled in our life, you know what's going to happen? We're going to have weak branches within our tree that can break off real easy. And when the deluge of the deception comes, you're going to be questioning your faith. And I'm not going to let it happen to you, because I'm going to teach you what the Word says. I'm not teaching a Robert's doctrine. I'm teaching a Bible doctrine here. If it's in the Scriptures, we've got to deal with it. Right? Right? You got to. You got to deal with it. If it's in the Bible, you got to deal with it. Hello? So, he says, the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit uttering and wanting to pray. Now listen to me. Have you had that kind of a prayer time lately? That the Spirit of God has got you into a place that you're groaning and uttering things that you never thought about. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know that I pray like that. I know. We got to get there. We got to get out of the grocery list prayer life. And get into a prayer life to where when you're sitting there, you've taken time to be with the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, instruct me and teach me what I'm supposed to be doing. And if you're not, folks, I'm telling you, you're not using all the tools in your toolbox. You've been wondering why all those nails you've been trying to drive just been bent over? It's because you're using a crescent wrench. So let's use a hammer. When I first started to work as a carpenter, you know, I mean, I'd driven nails and, you know, stuff like that when we were on the ranch, but never really worked as a carpenter. I never forget my first job that we ran into was putting a quarter inch plywood up underneath a carport. And we didn't have nail guns. So you'd have to hold the piece of plywood up on your head, get it in there, and then nail upside down. It's probably one of the most difficult things to do, especially on quarter inch when it's popping. And you know. So by the end of the day, I just about beat my thumb completely off of my hand. I was taping it with black tape, doing all kinds of stuff, just trying to just keep from having to do it. But I had to do it. I mean, I had to earn the money. I had to do it. There was no way around it. Didn't have no nail gun. But you know what I learned? And by after a while, you know, that was not an issue anymore. And that's the way we are in life. We may be beating our thumbs off wondering why things aren't working right in our life. We got to learn how to use the tools that God gave us in our toolbox so that we're going to come out victorious. Amen? Now, I want to just show you one more scripture, and then I'm going to stop for today. No, matter of fact, I'm going to stop. I'm through. I got to have something to preach next week. I might not have anything to preach. I might step to the pulpit and not be able to say anything. Y'all don't think that could happen? Never has happened yet. 25 years I walked up here and there's nothing to say, and I guarantee I never have been able to be quiet. So, anyway, praise God. Are y'all with me this morning? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Amen? Amen. Well, stand to your feet. There's two things I want to do before we close. One is, I want us to take a moment here. I want us to pray over everything that's coming up with the children and VBS this week. Amen? Y'all be in prayer about that. Like you said, Dixie said that y'all need some help and stuff like that. And y'all got that announcement. So make sure and talk to Valerie and talk to whoever it needs to do and get all that done. Amen? Have a great week up here. And then the second thing is I just want to challenge you, church. Prove me wrong. Get in the Bible this week and prove me wrong. Dig up every scripture you can on the Holy Spirit. Go home and get your concordance out and get every scripture there is on the Holy Spirit. Look it all up and come back next week with a good argument to prove me wrong. Come on. Challenge me. Because I want to tell you something. The more you dig into the Word, the more you seek it for yourself, the more you're going to learn, the more it's going to be revealed to you. Amen? So let me pray for you. Father, right now we just stop and we pray for this week of Vacation Bible School, Lord. I pray for all those kids come here. Holy Spirit, I ask you just to move upon them, to get the kids here from the north, the south, the east, and the west, to bring them into the church and get them in here, Lord, to where they can, Lord, where they can just hear from you and they can learn from you and you can just touch their lives and they can go home and, Lord, touch their parents' lives. Lord, I just pray today that all the workers, all the people that are coming up, everybody that's going to be involved in this, that we do have supernatural energy, that, Lord, you just give us great days, but, Lord, that you give us the wisdom and the understanding that we know what to say to each child, and we don't just go through the motions, Lord. It's about following the Holy Spirit and what kid needs a smile, what kid needs a pat, what kids need some love, what needs to be said and what needs to be done, that, Lord, we can influence these children's lives. And Lord, I just thank you for just giving us sovereign divine protection and just blessing everything that's going on. I ask you now this morning, Lord, to be here through it all, through the whole week, that we have a glorious day on Thursday and the parents come and they see and they feel your presence. Lord, I pray right now for everybody here. I pray, Heavenly Father, that we would all be influenced by your Holy Spirit, that you'd come to us and you'd speak to us about the weaknesses in life and show us all everything we need to do. Lord, that you'd lead us and guide us and direct us. That as we pray, we'd be inspired by the Holy Spirit. And that, Lord, you would begin to guide us and lead each and every one of us. Now, Lord, we thank you for it. And we praise you for it, Lord. You're so awesome. You're so mighty and you're so awesome. And we thank you for it, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now, let me have my prayer team come down here. If you're here today and you need some extra prayer, we're here for you. Their prayer team members are down here this morning. We'll pray for you. And so you can just come down. But grab that person's hand right beside you here and look at them and say, hey, pray in the Holy Ghost this week. Now, Lord, bless them as we go. Lord, let this day just lead us and guide us and direct us in everything that we're doing. And, Lord, bless them and bless our week. Give us people to witness to, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. God bless you guys.